What I'd like to do is acknowledge my co-author, Pat Sauer, Iowa Stormwater Education Program. Now, of course, the last two talks have already got into this problem we have in post-construction areas with the compaction, poor root growth, poor aeration, slow infiltration, runoff, erosion, nutrient loss, etc. Compost is just one of the factors. Of course, this is more, I guess, on biosolids, but compost has been shown to improve plant growth, increase infiltration, and reduce runoff and erosion. So we wanted to see if compost combined with either aeration and prairie grasses can remediate post-construction sites. So when we started this, we were mainly trying to get some ideas of what to do. So we did not have a real nice replicated plot to start with. We just wanted to see what would work. So we called these our, quote, large plots. And we're going to find out we had some weird things happen that I'll have to explain later. But basically, we tried to kill the sod, remove the sod in the topsoil, tried to compact it and grade it, but because it was a real level site, it was difficult to grade. And then in the control area, or the which I later call the lawn, we added a little bit of topsoil back and planted a bluegrass mix. In the treated area, we used a slot till. We kind of built a little slot till device to go 15 centimeters deep and added topsoil plus compost. This was a yard waste compost, and I think some of this actually had manure in it, in the compost. And then we planted some short grass prairie grasses, buffalo grass and blue grama grass. And then 3 years later in 2011, we split each of these larger areas, and we did some subsequent aeration with a little bit of more compost added. And for the control, it was the only compost added. So this is kind of the layout of these large plots. This is the prairie grass area or the lawn or control area. And then in 2011, we added compost. And I'll mention these small plots. The small plots, we try to get a little replication, at least two reps. We removed the sod and topsoil, compacted, and now because they were smaller, we were able to grade a little bit more, 2%, not very much. And basically, we had a control, which was only 5 centimeter topsoil, and then three treatments that included compost. One of them was aerated with compost. One of them had the compost tilled in. The other just had the compost laid on the surface. And these were all bluegrass, though. Okay. And because this was more of a demonstration, we wanted to see what would happen in a real construction area, a real yard, somebody's yard. So we had four sets of yards. And by sets, I mean the treated yard plus the neighbor's yard. They were started in the fall of 2012. Two of these yards had been within 3 years of the construction, and there was still a lot of evident compaction. The other two were 5 to 10 years since construction. So they had a little bit more time to develop between the construction and the treatments. I will have to mention also the treatment was just aeration plus a little bit of compost. That partway through the study, and we're not finished because we've only had a couple of years, one of the neighbors did aerate their yard but not add the compost. We can't really control what the neighbors do, unfortunately. Okay, there's the small plots again. The kind of measurements we measured soil water in the top 5 centimeters with a hydroprobe. Obviously, top 5 centimeters, we're not really getting that subsoil property. We took soil cores before we started the large area, and then again in 2008, 2011, and then we used these for measuring bulk density and saturated hydraulic conductivity. We made some rainfall simulator measurements. We actually did an earlier measurement in 2008, which I'm not going to say much about, but the larger rainfall simulator we did in 2012. We did it both on these large plots and then the smaller plots as well. The smaller plots, we split it in a way because there was two nozzles, one nozzle for each treatment. We measured the time to runoff, sediment, nutrients in the runoff, but only from the large plots. And then we measured the water content before and after the rainfall. For the yards, we did not want to try to use this large rainfall simulator, so we used the Cornell infiltrometer, which is much smaller. We Our goal was to get 3 to 5 reps, but in some cases rain prevented that. We only got 3 reps, 2 reps, I mean. This is an example of the rainfall simulator and some small plots. I believe this is the control and this is the treatment with the aeration and compost. You can see the control is a little spotty in terms of growth. And we were able to split this out and get the runoff from each of them separately with the 2 nozzles. Okay, results, looking at the large plots now. We're looking at bulk density and before we started and then after. This is the surface bulk density, this is the subsurface bulk density. Okay? Now, in the subsurface, obviously, we're not really getting the treatment down into the subsoil that much. So we do tend to have a higher density in the subsurface. Where we have the compost, just because compost has got a lower density than soil, obviously, we're going to reduce the bulk density, but a lot of it's just due to the compost. So what's happening in the control in 2011? Well, it turns out in these plots, we had a lot of difficulty removing the topsoil, which I'll get into. And so if we still had some of this residual topsoil within what was supposed to be the subsoil, then we tended to have that lower density. Now, this is kind of all over the place, so I didn't try to connect it. This is a combination of several different hydraulic conductivity or infiltration. Okay, this is when we started. And the bluegrass mix is the control, the compost plus the prairie grasses has been with the triangles. So that first set is from the soil cores, measuring hydraulic conductivity where there was a large difference. This is from this early rainfall simulator that we did, but we had it down at the end of the plot where there was still topsoil in the subsoil for the control, and in that case the control was faster. Okay, this one was from some disc infiltrometers where there was a pretty good increase with the compost and prairie grass, and then we had some more soil cores, a big difference, but when we used the large rainfall simulator, only a small difference in actual infiltration rate. This water content range, this was measured from the hydroprobe over the season. In 2008, we didn't get to start till July because we had just got the whole thing started. But the other years, we were able to start in March or April in most years and continue on into sometimes as far as November, although sometimes we couldn't get in that late. So as what I did for this one, talking about water content range, it's the wettest reading minus the driest reading, okay, for that treatment. And each of these hydroprobes, we had from 3 to 10 individual measurements to come up with a reading for that date. And we had between 5 and 25 measurement dates in each year. Okay, so that first year in 2008, the control had a wider water content range because it took a couple of years to get those prairie grasses established. They were established by the second year, but the first year they were still spotty. After that, where we had the prairie grasses and the compost, we had a larger water content range. It means it got drier before the rain and wetter after the rain. And I'm suggesting this might indicate a larger water holding capacity. And then we looked at the rainfall simulator results for the large plots. Much longer to run off in the prairie and compost treatments, and much less runoff. There was perhaps a slight increase just due to the recent addition of compost. Remember, the compost was added in 2011, the rainfall simulator was in 2012. Looking at the phosphorus, the orthophosphate, again, these are all pretty low because they're grass plots, but there was a little bit lower in the prairie with the compost. And then what I'm calling the total minus the ortho, which would kind of be the sorbed phosphorus, was also lower. The soil loss was much lower in the prairie compost compared to the bluegrass, mainly just because there was much less runoff. Again, these are lower levels, all of them, than what you would see, say, in a recently tilled area. We did look at nitrate, but the nitrate concentrations in runoff are usually pretty low. In fact, they were lower than the water. So, I mentioned we kept having problems. We finally dug up to see what in the world, why we kept finding this dark soil. It turns out in 1997, when they were building this area, they had taken this area where we did our study and tried to level it by putting a bunch of fill material on there, a half a meter or more of fill material, which consisted of topsoil material, subsoil material, topsoil material, subsoil material, and so a little more topsoil material. And then we got down to a topsoil where we had corn residue and aggregated A horizon rather than what I'm calling A horizon material, which was more composted laid down. And unfortunately, this is what you get in urban areas. You don't always know what you have. You don't always know what the prior disturbance was. So we were looking at disturbing this, and plus then there was all this other stuff going on that we hadn't controlled for. And the subsoil material was like calcareous. Then it was even darker down here, which made me wonder if perhaps this 97 surface was maybe not even still the original surface, that maybe there was some disturbance, say, in the 40s, which I've not been able to verify, and then maybe the real surface was somewhere down there. I'm not sure, but at least we know we've got at least a half a meter of stuff above our what would have been a horizon. At least we did not have artifacts like bricks and drywall and whatever, which some people find in urban soils. Okay, now in our small plots, the treatment that had no compost was much faster to run off, higher runoff and soil loss. Even though I forgot to put the little letters in here, this time to runoff was significantly smaller for the control than for the aerated compost. Than for the other three. The runoff rate was significantly higher for the control than just for the tillage compost. And the same thing with the soil loss. It was significantly higher for the new control than for the tillage compost. These water content ranges were not really significantly different for the different treatments. Then we looked at the lawns, which have only been running for basically 2 years because the compost was put on late in 2012. Most of the differences were not significant. There was no difference in infiltration rate, runoff rate, time to runoff, sorptivity, amount, total phosphorus in runoff, nitrate in runoff, or the water content range, which we measured with the hydroprobe over time. The only thing that really was significant was, as you'd expect, the bulk density where we had the compost. Because compost has a lower density, we had significantly lower bulk density in the top 10 centimeters, but then not in the compacted subsoil. Perhaps you're getting a trend towards longer runoff time when you have compost and a greater water content range, greater water holding capacity, but those differences were not significant. So in our small plots, we did see a little bit of significance. We're starting to maybe see a little bit of trend towards a better water holding capacity, higher infiltration rates where we've had the compost, a longer time to runoff, a smaller runoff rate, reduced erosion, and significant lower bulk density of the surface soil only, not the subsoil. The prairie grasses eventually developed a nice good mat. Even the bluegrass was okay where you had some kind of compost to help it grow. The slot tilling or rototilling seemed to be just a little bit better for the plant growth and for the treatment effects. And perhaps there does seem to be a benefit of reapplying a little bit of compost with some aeration. And there's our disturbed soil again. If anyone has any questions.
Did you apply any fertilizer to the no compost treatments? And
no.
Did you do a nutrient test on your compost?
I believe there was a nutrient test on the compost, and after I got here, I realized I didn't bring that with me. But we did do a nutrient test on the compost, and I thought, well, I forgot to bring
that.
Because
that could be part of your differences, too.
Right,
with no
I definitely.
With nutrients,
agree.
I wouldn't expect the bluegrass
right,
to be
exactly.
done very well.
Right, exactly.
Would you attribute any of the differences in your compost and the prairie grasses, buffalo grass, blue grama, compared to the bluegrass and the difference of the root structures and.
Well, they're definitely because the prairie grasses are warm season grasses, so they use the water mostly in the summer, and that could be one of the factors that dried it down further before the rain. But then the fact that the water content increased more after the rain would suggest some effect of water holding capacity, whereas the bluegrass is going to mainly take up water in the spring and fall, and we did see that seasonal effect.
There might be some differences in the physical structure due mm-hmm. to the difference in the way the root structures hold the soil.
We did tend to see that there were more of the prairie grass roots entering that subsoil. It was complicated by having this disturbed mix. We kept trying to figure out where the roots went, and we found roots all the way down a meter deep, but some of them were probably old roots. But there did seem to be a better effect of the prairie roots getting through that subsoil, at least a larger number, but although some of the bluegrass roots did get into it as well.
All right, well, thank you, Todd.